Live from a basement in an undisclosed location just west of Lake Michigan, it's the J3 Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the season two premiere of the J3 Amateur Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan. I'm here with...
This is Josh.
This is Aaron.
Yoel is not here.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi. I meant to say in a... undisclosed location in a base. I think I said in a basement or in an undisclosed basement.
We're in Josh's basement. I think people realize that by
undisclosed,
now.
Undisclosed, but yes, my basement.
You can't say it's undisclosed and then say it's a basement. That's kind of disclosing something.
True.
And now it is disclosed.
Well, he usually says undisclosed location in a basement.
Right. Undisclosed location in a basement.
Yeah. Either way, we have us three.
We have us three. First of all, we're very excited. We've had a long hiatus. I think we probably did our last recordings in June, kind of took the summer off. A lot of people have been asking, when are we coming back? And the day is finally here.
We're back.
Season two, there's a lot to be excited about. And the first thing we're going to do is just spend some time with us. Our most loyal listeners always enjoy it. And talk a little bit about the summer. I think the number one thing is that happened this summer. Josh and I both had some trips. We did some things. But first and foremost, we have our executive producer, Aaron Wertheimer, here, who may become our third co-host. He might be the three in the J3 soon.
TBD.
I think we'll get to that.
He's married to a J, so it makes
sense.
That's
true.
It's true. We'll get to that. But either way, the biggest thing on our agenda is that Aaron actually... Well, a lot of people maybe have not listened to the interview with Aaron and don't really know what you do. And Aaron is a very creative writer, and he's a filmmaker, and he's a TV person, and I don't know what the hell you do, but you do a lot of that type of stuff.
A former rapper.
Former rapper. He has an album that used to be on Spotify. But Aaron made a movie. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I filmed a movie. It's a feature-length film, a comedy. It's my third feature-length film, and filmed it this summer, end of July, early August. Mostly in the Skokie area, Evanston, Winnetka, Lincolnwood.
What's the name of the film?
It's called Not If I See You First.
So I have a little bit of an article here from ScreenMag.com.
Okay.
It says, in Not If I See You First, a little bit of the plot. Can I give that away?
Sure.
I mean, it's public.
It's out there.
It says, in Not If I See You First, Kenny is in town for work when he meets Aaron, who convinces him to extend his stay to see the sights. But when Kenny's car accidentally explodes and Aaron gets amnesia, will their fledgling friendship lose its way?
Yes.
Can I just say that I read the screenplay and multiple times I was laughing out loud. No, not kidding.
So what are your expectations here? First of all, maybe let's explain to the listeners what goes into making a film.
Okay. So it's an independent film. I'm trying to think of where to start in terms of what goes into it. But so there's a lot of planning. You know, you write the script. Like I said, this is my third feature, so having done it before, I kind of had a sense of how to plan it out.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I know give the audience an example. How many versions of a script before you actually start
working on it? This one, I think it ended up being eight. Like sometimes people, you know, you have like 15, 20. It also depends what you consider a new version. I don't like to just call everything a new version. But yeah, you go through different iterations. I looked back. I sent the first draft to my friend Anthony in January of 2022. And then so we filmed it in, July of 2023. So it was like a year and a half of kind of revising it and stuff.
Uh-huh. So it's not like you just pen a script and all of a sudden you're filming it like a month later.
Right. So anyway, yeah, I mean, you know, you write it, plan it out, budget it. You got to schedule it, figure out like what you're going to shoot on what day, where, you know, get the location. Like you have locations in your mind. Maybe you set a scene in like a coffee shop, but then you need to actually find this coffee shop. Sometimes you set scenes in locations you know you could get. Other times it's like you have to look for it.
And what do you walk into a coffee shop and say, can I film here?
Yeah, well, I tasked my great wife, Joey, with getting us a couple locations. A lot of the locations, I mean, I knew we were on a tight budget, so I didn't want to...
By Joey, you mean J3.
Right.
Got it.
I'm not going to like set a scene on a helicopter or something, you know, like a location I knew I couldn't get. But like we had a location in a convenience store, so I don't really like approaching people. So I asked Joey, she's more social than me. So she went and, you know, I had this convenience store in mind that I thought would be good. And I knew they opened at 8 a.m. So I said, can you ask them, like, can we shoot before they open? Would they mind? And they were totally fine with it.
Well, that makes sense.
So, yeah. So we used like community location, a lot of exteriors. But then before we started filming, some people got me scared about I didn't get permits to shoot outside. Everyone would seem to ask me that question, even though they weren't not like film people, but people would say like, you have permits to shoot this, right? And I'm like, no.
Do you need permits to shoot in like a public park?
Well, I think technically you do to shoot in like a Skokie Park District park or something. I just thought like no one's going to care. But then people started getting me nervous like that they were going to get shut down. They're going to ask for permits. But no one cared. I was right initially. I also didn't really want to get permits because like we had a scene that we shot in a grocery store parking lot. So I knew if we tried to get permits with the village of Skokie, they're going to be like, well, this isn't safe, or like you have to hire a cop to like, you know, deal with the traffic. You have to get the permission of the grocery store themselves. And I didn't want to.
It
like
would cost
do all
more
that.
Money.
It
also.
Yeah, it's all like bureaucratic, yeah, and yeah. They have to ask. No one can give you permission. Whatever. So anyway, we kind of did it like run and gun style. We just went to locations we wanted to shoot at and shot there. Unless it was inside, then we got permission.
We also have a role in this.
Correct, as the executive producers. Ironically,
Josh and I and yes. Yoel.
Correct,
and Yoel. Yeah, which I am very grateful.
So
for.
Jordan will have his IMDb credit.
He does
it's
already.
Already on.
It's already
it
there.
Okay, amazing.
Yeah, once you finish production, you can get an IMDb page.
Yeah, you set that up for us. And I mean, a lot of people that are listening are going to want to see this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so tell us about that process in terms of getting it in the theaters.
So, you know, we finished filming it in the beginning of August. So now it's the editing process. It's a long process. You have to sync the sound to the picture, so... The sound's recorded separately, so you got to match everything up. You know, there's like 18 hours of footage or something. Then you got to kind of like whittle it down to all the different takes and basically put together a rough cut. Then you got to screen that to some people, get some feedback. You got to get the music. You got to do
will we be
sound effects.
Privileged to see the first screening?
Yeah. I mean, I'll do test screening. But you have to get it into like good enough shape to where it's, you know.
Right, that's not going
to
be for a while.
That's not going to be for a while because you need to... Yeah, it's a long process. Probably like
how long is the film going to be when it's all done?
Probably around 80 to 85 minutes.
Great.
So it's a feature, nice, a short feature length film. I think it's a good length. You know, it should just be like a fun adventure, fun ride.
And where is it going to premiere? Because I need to start planning my wardrobe and everything.
I don't know that yet. I mean, we'll probably go the film festival route and then...
Josh, are we going?
Also...
100%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then we'll, you know, try to play in some like local independent theaters, different independent theaters around the country and that kind of thing.
But, okay, so that sounds very exciting and we look forward to Not If I See You First.
Yes,
right?
That is the title.
Okay, and Josh, you've been all around the summer. You know, we mentioned, I think after a lot of brain power and effort was, you know, expended doing the Rabbi Yushin episode, which seems to be a success, and the fact that I think it resonated with a lot of people.
It did.
It was meaningful to a ton of people and eye-opening to those who didn't know him. And then, you know, Aaron started making his film, and then... Josh, you started traveling, doing what you do.
Well, the first so half where'd of the you summer, go? First half of the summer, I was home. Kids were at camp. I was just, you know, enjoying being home, relaxing. And then I went to New York.
So tell us, how do you relax when your kids are away?
I mean, my wife kept saying, you know, let's go somewhere. And I said, why would I want to go anywhere?
I think there was an Italy trip that she was discussing.
I can just be here and be just as happy as if
I
was anywhere else.
Do you want to tell the audience a little bit about that? Because I think friends of yours were going to Italy.
Yeah.
Wife,
I was getting some pressure to see the world, and I said, you know, I'm okay seeing West Rogers Park.
Right. So you flat out denied any idea of abroad.
I like traveling. I just felt like if it's super hot there and the weather's better here, and I can just like chill out in my backyard and be just as happy as if I was in Italy, why would I want to go to Italy?
Have you been to Italy before?
I have not.
Have you been to Europe?
I was in Amsterdam once, but that's okay. No other part of Europe.
What were you in Amsterdam for?
It was during my year in Israel. So I was just there like on a vacation.
Quick trip.
So you haven't been back in
how
many years? 30 years?
About 30 years, yeah.
Wow. Were you curious to go to Italy, like see, you know, the Colosseum? Or?
Not at all.
Nothing. There was nothing appealing about it to you.
I like traveling in the U.S. I'm just not a big, or Israel. I'm not a big, you know, multicultural type person. I just don't care.
There's one culture.
Basically. I mean, I probably should be a little more adventurous. It's just, I don't know. I just don't have that, you know, travel nature within me.
Right. Okay. So tell us about where you went this summer, though.
So I went to New York a couple of times. Went to see...
A couple of times.
Well, I went to see some concerts initially.
Who'd you see?
A band called Fish.
How many shows did you see?
I saw two shows in Madison Square Garden, the Mecca. It was a great trip. That's what they call it, the Mecca.
I mean, was it worth it? Were they good shows?
They were great.
Shows?
They were great shows. Well, Have you ever?
When's the last time you've gone a year without seeing a Fish show?
Well, they were...
Not counting COVID.
Off, they were off the map for like 5 years in the mid-2000s.
In the mid-2000s.
They quit, supposedly. They came back.
Okay, so when they were touring?
I mean, I don't like really travel for them anymore, but when they're local, I always go.
I mean, no matter you just what. Said you went to New York.
Well, cause... I mean, right, there are exceptions, but okay. It was the middle of the week shows, and I had a few friends going, and I just figured, you know, I hadn't seen them in a while, so...
So you went with friends?
I met friends there.
Okay.
Yeah. I traveled solo.
Gotcha. Where'd you stay?
I stayed at a hotel called Equinox.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. In Hudson Yards.
Related to the gym?
Yeah, it's actually part of the gym. So I did it because there's a big pool there. And as you know, I'm a swimmer. So I did not want to miss my swimming. So they have a huge like lap pool there.
So did you had probably had a leisurely vacation.
Yeah, it was
you
really
went
fun.
Swimming, went yeah. to a concert.
So you went fun. By yourself?
I went to the hotel by myself, yes.
Nice.
Yes.
And did you go out for dinner by yourself?
I just got in my room like quickly because the show was like dinner time. So I didn't really go anywhere.
Right.
Were you only there for one night?
Two nights. Okay. Then I went back. A few days later with my son for a Cubs-Mets game.
So you went for one night?
Two nights. We went one night just to see the cities. Now, he'd never been to New York, so I kind of showed him the city a little bit, and then the next night...
Where'd you go around to show? I mean, I actually went with my father maybe when I was 12 or 13 to Manhattan. My sister did some college, like whatever program in the city at Barnard, I think, and we stayed in the city and saw Times Square and everything. We went to a movie, I don't know. So traveling with a kid who's younger,
right?
You know, what was it like in the city? Like, what did he do?
Well, so we did this thing actually right in Hudson Yards. There's this place called The Edge, and there's this what's called City Climb, where you can climb. Actually, super cool. You climb on the side of this building, like outside. They have this like rope around your stomach, and you're connected to like this big barrier. But you're basically like you lean over a building like with nothing behind you. It's like it's insane. Like
you did that?
I did that.
I would have no interest in doing that.
It sounds terrifying. It was very terrifying, but it was a lot of fun. It was like really windy that day, and we both did it, and very intense, like a big rush.
So you guys had some fun and came back.
Yeah, we did that. I showed him like, you know, we walked around Times Square, walked around Broadway just for him to kind of see it. Then we went to the Cubs game.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Good day.
Yeah, nice.
Nice father-son trip.
So that's it. You went to New York twice.
Correct.
New York is miserable in the summer, generally.
And then I went to Park City with my family.
Oh, tell us about that.
Park City, Utah. That was actually a great trip. See, I am a traveler when it comes to like mountainous areas. I really like, you know, Vail. We've gone to
I just
Wyoming.
Want to say there's a lot of natural beauty in Italy.
That's true.
But you know what? I think America is very underrated when
sure.
it comes to that.
It really especially the West Side.
You don't need
yeah.
to schlep to Europe.
That's
to
my
see.
Point. Like we're looking outside the beautiful mountains, like the sunset, like it's great weather. It was just the vibe in Park City is just incredible. So we stayed at this place called Pendry, which is like in this canyons village. And we did, you know, like hiking and biking and whitewater rafting and ATVing, all that kind of stuff. We actually swam in this crater. There's this like thing you can do, like this underground, like big boulder they have, like they built like this pool. So we actually swam like under the ground, which is kind of cool. And we went to Olympic Village, which I got to see like how the all the Olympic training in Salt Lake City, and did this bobsled. I mean, it was a cool trip. It was a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't do all that stuff. Like we kind of split up.
Wait, what do you mean you didn't do all that stuff?
I mean, I didn't go whitewater rafting. I've done that before.
Wait, slow down. You made it sound like I said, wow, this is amazing.
We
family
did. I mean,
trip.
Like the
you
family,
did all these activities.
No,
but you stayed back. Like,
no,
what
no,
were
no, no,
you
no.
doing?
I went with my. So we had like my brother's family, and my family went. So we had like one day really where we're sort of like this company that came to take us to different places so people could do what they wanted to do. It wasn't like
so what did
exclusive.
You do?
So I went on a hike.
You okay?
Yeah, I like hiking, but some people went mountain biking, some people went ATVing. It was just sort of like do what you want to do. You could have done multiple things, but I've done all that stuff and I was really just wanted to do like a nice hike. So I did that.
Isn't it bad for your back?
Hiking? No. I mean, the other stuff could be potentially dangerous.
let me ask you a question. Who does the planning for your accommodations, the trip, all that type of stuff?
I do.
Did you decide Park City? Did you look up the hotel? Did you look up the company that's going to take you on these trips?
I did.
Everything.
All three.
And no one has any say in the matter.
I mean, I put it on a chat, and if anyone has a comment, I mean, I leave it open to a comment period, but...
Do you think people find you welcoming for to comment?
I feel like people are appreciative because they don't want to have to deal with it. Like all the food, we had to ship all the food. It was a big to do.
Have you ever suggested a location and there was enough pushback that you changed locations?
Not off the top of my head.
No,
I don't remember.
No.
I
mean,
I usually pick locations that people want to go.
Okay. Fair enough.
People wanted to go to Park City.
Wait, so how did you think of Park City though? Like
I was just looking for a place that sort of like had mountains and wasn't super hot. Because a lot of places, like, you know, can be really hot in the summer. And Park City was actually, like, in the 70s. We actually missed the big heat wave here. We were there. So, I don't know. It was just kind of a really cool place to go. Very, like, vibey type of town. There was a concert at night. They had, like, you know, all types of little shops and stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Can you not buy alcohol in Utah or something?
It is a lot of more. There are a lot of Mormons there. We didn't buy alcohol, so I didn't check, but I imagine that
there's something
tough.
About that. It's like state licensed specific.
I did learn that Mormons don't drink coffee. I never knew that.
You didn't know that? BYU, they don't allow coffee.
Seriously?
100%.
How I know is we were going on a hike and me and my wife had coffee, and I think she actually brought coffee to the guide. He's like, oh, I don't drink that. And we felt okay, just doesn't like coffee. And he said something like, oh no, like Mormons don't drink coffee. I was like, what? Okay, so Jordan, let's hear about your summer.
Oh, wait, I have a question for Jordan.
Okay.
You said that New York is, like, terrible in the summer or something? Like,
yes.
I'm surprised you think that. I feel like...
Ever been on the subway in the summer?
Of course. I lived there for, like, 12 years.
And it's awful.
But a lot, I feel like New York comes alive in the summer. I would think you would like it because it's like everybody's outside, everybody's drinking,
everybody's
going to concerts.
Okay, to be fair, I've never really spent a summer in New York.
Also, to be fair, Aaron, 2023 New York is not... What
well, that's
it was,
true.
It is disgusting right now. Like Times Square is pretty
back to the
70s. Yeah,
pretty
I've heard, right. I've heard it, it's going down.
Yeah, I did not want to be around anywhere near there.
Yeah. I mean, that's an area I avoided even when I lived there
right,
as well.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think Manhattan in the summer is as good as some of the. Everyone leaves for the weekend. No one's there on the weekend.
Okay.
It's more of your like deeper into Long Island summer getaways, right?
I guess it depends who you're. Your crowd is
right.
I don't know what Brooklyn's like in the summer. Maybe it comes.
I mean,
alive.
I feel like it does. Yeah, like
maybe
everybody's like excited. To
keep in mind that Aaron lived in Brooklyn before it was like considered cool to do so.
And you also probably were able to wear like a t-shirt. Let me ask you a question. What was your attire on a daily basis in Brooklyn in 2004?
Probably like jeans and a t-shirt. Okay. I remember I was very opposed to shorts at the time. Although it was a big thing.
what do you mean?
I just thought that shorts were uncool. So I would only wear jeans.
Even if you were like, it was like 95 degrees?
Yes. I would always, not only jeans, but only pants. There was always a debate among people like, should you wear flip-flops? Like, is it cool to wear flip-flops outside because of all the garbage and like urine, just like the disgustingness of the New York streets? Is it gross to wear like flip-flops around?
Did you wear flip-flops?
I think I did sometimes.
With
yeah.
jeans?
Sure. yeah. But I didn't get into wearing shorts until a few years ago, I think.
Really?
I finally like accepted that it makes sense to wear shorts when it's warm out.
I feel like if there's a big difference between jeans and shorts in the summer. Like,
there
it's
is.
A noticeable difference.
Yeah. There were definitely
right? Yeah. Even though it's just not a lot extra has been covered, it's just like you feel a lot cooler.
Right. I agree.
Uh-huh.
I can't defend my past
well,
actions.
Welcome to the shorts club.
It's great. I enjoy shorts now.
Aaron and I are both wearing shorts right now.
They are. Yeah. And I'm wearing pants.
Actually, when I was leaving the house, Joey was like telling me I need to wear more clothes because she thought it was going to be very cold in your house.
Uh-huh. Are you cold?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. I'm happy. Jordan, let's hear about your summer.
I guess it's been a pretty fun summer. We took a trip. We got back last week. We usually spend a couple weeks in Sacramento, California, end of the summer when the kids are done with camp before school starts.
And this is by your in-laws?
By my in-laws' house. We head out there usually mid-August. We left a day after Yoel's wedding. And
it was tough to you all.
A wedding we were planning on recapping that we're not going to do. If you have any questions about the wedding, just talk to him about it, I guess.
Exactly.
And first of all, it was very hot there. When we got there the first day, it was 105, and it was like that for the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. And
can I stop you right there? Now, to me, if I'm in a place where it's 105 degrees, I'm not going outside. Were you able to like kind of do your normal things?
No, because it's a little different there. So Sacramento's in a valley, and it's kind of...
It's don't say dry heat. It means nothing when it's under 5 degrees. It's still freaking hot.
Okay, so what... yes, it's very hot. I was going to say that. But what I would say is that it doesn't really hit the peak of the day until about 3 to 4 p.m.
Okay.
It cools down overnight, so when you wake up, it'll be about 75 to 80, and then climb during the day. So most of the day is hot, but it's not 105. And then about 4 to 6 is the hottest point of the day.
So like 12 o'clock, it's like in the 90s?
Yeah.
Okay, but it's dry.
Yes.
It's dry. I mean, it does, there is a difference. Like, I mean, Chicago, sometimes it's like 80.
No, and there,
it
feels there, you, like, there's different.
Chicago was 95 at the softball tournament that yes. Josh puts together for his organization that I won. For the third time.
Congratulations.
Shout out Team Robinson Financial, three-time champs.
Let me just say, though, when it's 80 degrees, I can hear that. But people say, like, when it's 100 degrees, that's a dry heat. Like, when it's that hot, it doesn't make a difference.
What I was trying to say is that yesterday was 95 and humid here, and it was way worse than 105 in Sacramento. Like, without a doubt.
Okay, I could see that.
I used to be a doubter as well, right? And then I looked at my weather app at the percentage of humidity, and when I was there, it was about 10 to 15%. And Chicago is like 65 to 70. Mm-hmm. It's a huge difference.
There's a market difference. I agree.
Yeah. Okay. So it was hot. It was really nice, but they also have a pool. So it's kind of like at that time of the day, since I'm working, you know, Midwest, East Coast time, you know, 4 or 5 p.m., you know, you're dealing with 6 to 7 New York time. So I could kind of step away a little bit and go outside and jump in the pool. And when you're in the pool, it doesn't make a difference if it's 105 or 95.
Do you like being at West Coast time?
No.
I also don't like it.
Well, first of all, it's West Coast time is awful in general. Right. I realized that years ago for sports-wise.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Football games at like 10 a.m.
It's done. I never experienced the football at 10 a.m., but I remember basketball playoffs.
Like 5 o'clock they start.
Right. I remember that too. I'd be at work because I lived in L.A. for a couple of years. I'd be at work.
It's like 8 o'clock and everything's over.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the worst thing. Sunday nights. Right. Like Sunday night football's over at like 7:30.
I hate being on West Coast time.
Yeah. So it's awful for sports. And also keep in mind, I was once going to get grab a beer with my cousin to watch like a playoff game. And I called him and he was maybe in Santa Monica. I was in the city in LA. It was like, okay, let's meet up, whatever. And the traffic is awful at that time. So you can't even get together or do anything for a sports game if you wanted to. And then it's done by 8 p.m.
Right. I guess back in the day before like Twitter, like you maybe didn't know the score. So it was still fun to watch like a replay. But now, like, it's instant, so like...
I don't think it's ever fun to watch a replay.
No, but if you didn't know the score, I'm saying that. Like, in the 90s, if you're watching a game at 5 and you didn't hear what happened, it's still interesting. If you watched it at 7, your time.
I suppose. I didn't experience that.
Do you hear what I'm saying, Aaron?
No, I don't understand.
I mean...
No.
Let's say you want to grab a beer at bar and watch a game.
But what do you mean they're showing the games together live?
No, my point is, like, if... Like, they used to show West Coast... I assume they used to show West Coast. They showed it again, right? On the West Coast. I think so.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Like,
so... There's no way. They probably...
No, they always showed it live, didn't they?
They showed it live, but I'm assuming that they...
Are you talking about DVRing on your own?
No. I remember they used to say, like... Commercials say, like, playing at 8 o'clock... Something West Coast time replay. I don't know. I think they used to.
We're talking about when they used to show NBA games on tape delay in the late 70s.
They definitely did that.
I don't remember. I don't remember. But I just felt that there would be a way to do it in the 90s because you didn't know the score. It would be interesting to watch.
Okay, so Pacific Coast time is not great.
Correct.
Especially, I mean, for me, work wise, it's just you're also waking up very early in the morning.
That's why I will never go to Hawaii ever because it's 5 hours behind. The thought of that makes me like extremely nervous.
Right.
Because like you wake up and like half the day's gone. Mm.
Yeah.
No interest. Pass.
Central time is great.
Yeah.
So we were in Sacramento for a couple of weeks.
Wait, are your in-laws listeners of the show?
Yes. My mother-in-law is a listener.
Okay.
Yeah. She loves the show. In fact, I think we got a new listener when we were there. They had some friends that were visiting. They had used to live in Sacramento and made Aliyah. The wife was getting on a flight to Israel and, kind of needed something to do. And my mother-in-law turned her on and showed her how to listen to some episodes.
Okay.
Oh, good. Well, you know what? You got some other new listeners. My parents drove to New York. Yeah, they were curious about the show. So I showed them how they could listen on Spotify.
Did they listen?
They listened.
What do they think?
They said. They were like, we didn't realize Yoel was so antisocial.
So I was out there for a couple of weeks. It was a lot of fun. Great being with family. Besides for that, I think I've you know, I went to a couple concerts this summer as well.
Which concerts?
Okay, so I saw the Red Hot Chili Peppers at Lollapalooza.
Okay.
Which was unfortunately not a great experience.
I wouldn't think they would be good.
Are you a big festival guy in general?
No, I'm not. I mean, when I was younger, before you have kids and stuff, and we're, you know, putting them to sleep and then going this, I think it would be different if I had gone at noon and was, you know, carefree, like I've done on, you know, previous times at Lollapalooza and had a lot of fun. But we specifically went to see one band. You know, usually I've seen 5-6 bands during the day.
Right.
Seeing one band, and I want to see them. And then you get there and you're like, okay, oh, that's right. I should get there an hour before the show to get a decent spot. And even then, there's a billion people. And it's, you know, the closing performance. So there's probably, I don't know, 50,000 people in the crowd. And it's overwhelming. I could kind of like use a seat at some points, you know.
There's no seats at all in Lollapalooza. I've never
been. No. It's just a humongous field at Grant Park. They were phenomenal. I think their performance is great. I think at their age, they're still moving around. Anthony Kiedis was actually had a walking boot on that I only noticed halfway into the show because he was jumping around, going crazy. And, you know, the set list was fantastic. They played a lot of, you know, old hits and stuff. So it was good. But you can't even see that well because there's no kind of elevation there. You're just in this humongous crowd. So if you're not really up close, it's a little harder. So it was fine. It was good. I was happy to see them. But then I saw Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. I don't know if you're familiar. Saw him at the Salt Shed, which is a great venue. And that was a phenomenal show. Really enjoyed. Went with two of my cousins and had a great time. It's a great venue, kind of on the river over there, the old Morton Salt Factory. Probably about 5,000 is the capacity, and it was phenomenal.
So it sounds to me like you were actually living, I know we talked on a previous episode about kind of our summer and what we do, you know, like our summer vibe and kind of what we like to do. You seem like you did what you set out to do.
Which is what?
Just hang back, go to concerts, you know, swim, chill with people outside.
There was one disappointing thing about my Sacramento experience. I'm very focused on getting like a good tan when I'm in somewhere warm. So while I was kind of inside working all day, I spent considerable time making a point to sit outside every single day to, you know, work on my color.
Okay.
And I was not very happy with the final outcome.
You look pretty like colorful.
Because I was playing softball all day yesterday. Uh-huh. Like it enhanced that, but
do you,
you
have
know,
like a
I was
method,
a little disappointed.
Like, do you build up a base first?
I thought I had a decent one going in.
Do you do tan easily, or it takes you a while?
No, I do. I don't know. I got to get back to the drawing board.
Next summer.
Next summer.
Okay, so it sounds like everyone enjoyed their summer here.
Yeah. Okay, so you know what? Another thing I actually got into this summer, which I've really been enjoying. Okay, and I think I've mentioned this to Josh and probably to Aaron. Is I've become re-obsessed with horror films.
Yes.
I find, Aaron, especially as we're talking about making movies, is that I find that there's so many of these Marvel movies and everything's like either a huge budget kind of hit or miss, and there's not a lot in between, maybe some of the indie films that are looking for Oscars, but you know, you don't have your, like an example, like you don't have your My Cousin Vinny's anymore. Don't cost a lot to make, good performances, just a good solid movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That's not made anymore.
Right, for sure.
And I think a lot of the best young filmmakers and the creative minds are actually doing horror films or scary movies, thrillers.
Yeah.
You know, your Jordan Peele's.
Yeah. Right.
Now, you're not talking about like gore movies. You're talking about more like horror films.
I could do gore also. I don't know. I was kind of, it's weird because I want someone to like, that's also familiar to talk about the movies I'm watching with, and it's very hard to find them. Usually people think I'm nuts, but I was very much raised from a young age watching with my dad. Like I saw.
Didn't take you to some like when you were like,
I saw Halloween 9. What was it called? Halloween H2O.
H20.
I looked it up recently.
You were 9.
No, I was younger than 9.
Were you? I'm going with 1998 without
that
Google.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Was that the one? Yeah, that was when Jamie Lee Curtis
was. She was at the head of the school.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Halloween H2O was August 5th, 1998. I saw that in theater, so I was 9 years old. We only went to see it because I had seen the first Halloween movie already, and I had seen Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, and that's how I grew up, and I love horror films, and there's a lot of great ones these days. And the one thing we did find in common, Josh, is that you've seen Midsommar, which is from Ari Aster. It was the second film
Loved
and a
it.
Great movie.
Loved
right?
it, yeah.
So that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
psychological movies horror
like
that. Film.
Yeah, those are different. I don't like your typical like slasher films, but I do. Sure. I do like the smart horror films a lot.
Did you guys see Nope?
Speaking of Seal, I didn't like it.
I
saw Get Out. Why? Because you're a filmmaker.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people liked
it. Did you like Get Out?
I didn't see Get Out.
I love that. That was great.
Well, I enjoyed Us, which was Jordan Peele's other one.
I liked the premise of Us, but then I felt like it didn't go anywhere.
I didn't like that either.
I watched
part of it. I couldn't even get through it.
But what does your dad think about new horror? If he was a horror fan,
he's out for anything.
Because their horror is very different now than like in the 80s. It was like more just scary, like Freddy Krueger. Like he haunts you in your dreams, and there's a lot of just like murder and like people creeping around a house.
And then the 90s, they had like sort of like comedy horrors, like Scream and
Like self-referential,
self-aware.
Right.
Yeah. Cabin in the Woods is another example of that. Right. Well, we actually did have a Fright Night recently. you're aware of that, Aaron.
Of course.
Because we advertised it in a movies and television chat. Uh-huh. So it was at a great friend and listener of the pod at times, Natan Azarov's house.
Okay. How many people attended?
Two people attended. it was me and my dad.
Wow.
So I know that the good thing about him is that I asked him on a Sunday what he did last night. He's like, I went to a horror movie. I said, with who? And it was like all these young guys from Lincolnwood, like guys I'm buddies with. Like they were talking about it, Shel Shudis, and they're like, you want to go? And he's like, 100%. They picked him up and he went. So he's always down for a good scary movie. So it wasn't a great selection of film that we watched. It was pretty good. So maybe if some people want to email the pod email, j3amateurhour@gmail.com, that are interested, you can get an invite to the next Friday night. No one will email.
Wow. No one will email.
No one emails anyone.
I mean, but you should email about other things in general. Just, you know, let us know how you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. So looking forward to the rest of season two. What do we got on the agenda, Josh?
We actually have a bunch of very, very interesting and solid guests lined up. We're hopefully recording an episode next week with a very popular person on social media. We're also looking at some very interesting and creative people in the community that we're going to have on. We're kind of going to build this season a little differently. I think when we started this, Jordan and Aaron, we really didn't know what we were doing. We sort of like just decided to get some equipment and start talking. And it kind of morphed over time from just us in a room, just spitballing. And I think we did record a lot of very serious, important episodes. I think we got a lot of people talking in terms of some people they may not have been aware what they did in the community or how important they were to the community. We've heard countless stories about people that thanked us for making them aware of what this person does in terms of, you know, helping people or what they do in terms of importance to the overall community. And especially the Rabbi Eugene episode, I think a lot of people were very touched and felt that it was time for something like that to happen. I do feel like we had a lot of serious moments, which I was very proud of. We're still going to do these occasionally, like the Just Us, just kind of talking about ourselves, just, you know, just more of a chilled out approach. But I think that this year we're going to kind of get to talk to a lot of people that are important to Chicago and beyond. And we kind of maybe are looking to do sort of a thematic episode towards the end, like the Rabbi Eugene episode.
Who came up with the idea for it?
Jordan came up with the idea. It's a genius idea. It's something that's never been talked about in the city. It's going to be a very...
Well, let's not say it's going to be. We don't know. We don't know if it will happen. If it does happen, it'll have to be a multi-part episode.
Yeah. It's a fantastic idea.
I think it's something that would, if we do it, it's not going to happen anytime soon and would take months of work.
It would. Yeah. I mean, the Rabbi Eugene episode took months of work. So,
right.
You know, this is a little bit harder than that.
Perhaps a little more controversial.
For sure, more controversial. In any event,
I'm intrigued.
We do have a lot of guests sort of lined up, or at least in our minds lined up. Now, can we just for a minute discuss...
I think we need to. The elephant in the room.
Discuss the elephant not in the room, like in the Trump debate. We had a co-host who, for better or for worse, has made the decision, I think, or, you know...
We don't exactly know. Okay,
we're not sure.
So, a little bit of a background. I think we've mentioned many times on the podcast that Yoel has quit on a number of occasions for a variety of reasons. We won't necessarily get into them, but usually what tends to happen is that then when it comes closer to recording, Josh in general is very neurotic and annoying about exactly when we're meeting, what time, what we're going to talk about. Jordan prepared the agenda.
By the way, listeners, annoying means like having someone that actually has a schedule. Go ahead.
Okay, right. So Josh will pester, you know, whatever. And then so usually when Yoel kind of comes back with his quips and his, you know, decisions not to really respond and not be clear about whether he's coming or not, it frustrates Josh tremendously. Josh will harass him, call, text, are you coming, are you not coming? And I think Yoel enjoys that. And so Josh made the decision on this occasion when Yoel announced that he's quitting. Josh and I made the decision to not do any follow-up or ask attention.
No attention.
No attention.
We're not paying attention. Did Yoel officially announce that he's quitting?
But it's not the only time he's done that, right?
Right.
So, no, but he's gone on multiple...
he's gone public. Media, he's told people.
Right, and said that he is quitting, which is, you know, again, his choice, his decision. We enjoyed having him for season one. He is not here. It is to be determined whether or not he will be back. I think when we do interviews, he will likely not be here. We'll see what the future brings.
We'll play it by ear.
Maybe he'll come back as a guest.
That'd be great.
Can you guys think of performances or memorable people that were on a show or a movie like season one and then were not back for season two? I can think of a couple.
Well, that's a good one.
I mean, for me, I think this isn't season... Shannon Doherty on 90210. She was on the first four seasons. And then left.
No, but he's season.
That's who I think of when I think of
someone. Sometimes you have a character that's replaced. I mean, that's what's happening here, right? I think, was it Jerry Seinfeld's father in Seinfeld?
Well, that's different,
but
though.
This character's
why
still
is
there.
It different? No,
I think it's different.
It's not different because he's been replaced.
That's true.
Maybe in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, well, they did switch out the mom. They also did that on Roseanne. I mean, the actor changed, but they kept the character.
They did that on Valerie also.
Oh yeah,
I mean not her. They had the aunt or whatever, so they did that. They kept the show going. I'm just
Boardwalk Empire. What, they killed that guy off,
but that
was early.
But that wasn't no. They didn't replace.
Right,
him.
Sometimes a popular character like on The Wire, D'Angelo. If you saw The Wire, the character D'Angelo got killed.
Ooh,
beginning of season two. Spoiler alert.
I've got a great one. Tony Soprano's mom. She was always supposed to be on the
show.
She
was on for a couple seasons,
but she died in real life, so they wrote her off the show.
But she was on for more than one season.
No, she was not.
Only one season?
Yes.
Really?
Someone fact checked me. We'll see afterwards.
Okay, I did not realize. I mean, she was on a lot of episodes.
In the beginning.
I feel like we're probably missing like a...
Like a key one, right?
Yeah, there's got to be a key one.
Well, email.
Yes. Let us
everyone,
know.
Everyone, in honor of Yoel leaving after season one.
Oh, what about Cosby Show, Lisa Bonet? Didn't she?
But she came back. It was sort of like she had her own show. So that's a little bit different.
Well, she was a different world. She was only on the first season.
That's true also.
Then she left.
That's a good one. Different world. That's a good one.
Before my time. So anyways, in honor of Yoel leaving after a very successful season one, he did a great job. We applaud him. Email your favorite character that was written off a show to j3amateurhour@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Guys, we'll be back soon. More episodes to come. Hope you enjoyed.
Very excited for season two. Get ready.
And RIP Robbie Robertson. Here we go.